And that was the first verse of O Little Flock, Fear Not the Foe. And it is Tuesday, November. What is the matter with you,
Wake
Pastor
up, Tom.
Smith? July the, August the 8th.
It is August. August the 2nd. August already. Can you believe it?
2016.
Oh, summer goes too fast.
Yes, I've already bought my Christmas presents. But we're going to be looking at O Little Flock, Fear Not the Foe. I'm surprised they even put it in the hymnal with the number they used.
666?
Yes.
Oh.
666.
We're not afraid of that.
Oh, heavens no.
It's what the hymn says. Fear not the foe.
Yeah, that's probably one of the better hymns to be numbered, 666.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Well, that really, the theme came home to me last night. I got a call late in the night that one of the members of Trinity Orchard Farm was near death.
Ooh.
So we went out to Missouri Baptist, and boy, it's really strange, that hospital at night. No cars in the parking lot.
Yes, I've done that myself, late at night sometimes at a hospital. It's always kind of, so quiet.
Yes, and they say go in the emergency. I went to the front door, and it said locked, because it was locked between 9 and 6, and go in the emergency room, which I didn't know where it was, but it just so happened a car dropped off a woman and her daughter opened the door from the inside.
Uh-huh.
So I was able to get right in and go up. And there were 7 members of the family.
Uh-huh.
And we sat in the room for 2 hours until she died.
I imagine that meant a lot to the family that you were there.
Well, they had phoned me in the evening, and I was at meetings. And then when I got back to them, they said, well, it's kind of late. And I said, I'll be right there.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
And they were appreciative of that. But, that's kind of like phoning the police and say somebody's robbing my house. And the police says, I'm sorry, it's 1 a.m. We closed at midnight. Pastors are on 24 hours a day.
That's true.
But see, I've been out of the actual ministry for almost 19 years with a parish. So this is the first time I have a parish I'm helping out with at Trinity Orchard Farm on a full-time basis. And so there is no other pastor there. And
you're the man.
She came down with ALS.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and 2 weeks ago, she couldn't even come up to communion, so we went down into the pew.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't take a whole wafer.
Uh-huh.
So I broke it and then dipped it in the wine and gave it to her, which is called intinction.
Intinction.
Have you ever done that?
Yes. Very rarely.
Yeah, it is rare. But after she died, I'll be going to the funeral home today. They have yet to call to say what time that's going to be. And which reminds me, I need to turn off my phone so it doesn't ring. I mean, I can see it ringing just by looking at the item. You see, how do the people get a hold of you? You don't have a phone.
Oh, they have ways. I don't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
There's still the landline, of course.
Yes, that's right.
And they have ways. Everybody in my household has a cell phone but me.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to put the landline in your car. How long a cord do you use?
Yeah, I have to watch it when I make turns because it gets a little tangled on the traffic lights.
People tripping over it going across the street.
No, I imagine I'll get a cell phone one of these days when I feel like, well, it's really necessary. But it's just another thing to lose for me.
Yeah.
You watch these people these days. They're walking around all over the place looking at their cell phone, their smartphone.
Yeah.
And, people don't even have eye contact anymore.
No.
And I'll tell you, I'm concerned about some pastors getting that way. If you come in to visit people and you're just looking at your cell phone, your smartphone, that's not good.
Yeah.
And there's more and more people that are that way.
When I do seminars, they'll have them. And, of course, what do I tell them at the beginning of the seminar in regard to their phone?
Turn your phone off.
No.
Hand it in.
No.
What?
I tell them, I want you to leave your phone on. because who knows who's calling you? It might be an emergency. All I ask is that if you have to talk, just leave the room.
Right. That's fair. That's fair.
The only time I would turn off the phone is if you're at a, you know, symphony concert or something like that.
But, you know, I go to...
they're taping it.
You know, you go to meetings. Yeah. Go to meetings. I'm talking about, you know, adults, professional people.
Right.
And you'll be going to the meeting, and somebody will be speaking up at the front of the room, and you'll see these people in the back looking at their cell phone. That's just plain rude, I think.
Well, it depends. There was a pastor doing a sermon. He looked down, and there was a woman on her cell phone. So at the end of the service, he chastised her.
Well.
And she said, Pastor, I was looking up in the Bible the verses you were talking
about. Well,
that's
true. That's true.
Yeah, you got to be real careful.
Oh, of course.
And we had nurses, police, et cetera, and they need to have that phone on, or at least there's a movement of the phone rather than a ringing of it. But a lot of times you don't feel that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, the true words of a techno whiz.
A little flock, fear not the foe. Another good hymn by Martin
Luther.
Good
hymn. Good hymn. No, not Martin Luther. Jacob Fabricius?
Yeah, I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
16th century?
You don't have to worry.
But there's our friend Catherine Winkworth.
Yeah.
The translator, right?
My favorite translator.
Yes, very good. It's a great hymn. I love the hymn. I chose this hymn just a few weeks ago. If I knew it was coming up as the hymn of the day, I would have held off on it.
First stanza.
O little flock, fear not the foe who madly seeks your overthrow. Dread not his rage and power. And though your courage sometimes faints, his seeming triumph over God's saints lasts but a little hour.
Yeah, that was very appropriate for last night.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been at Trinity for some time, and she always attended, the lady who died, the Thursday night Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times before the Bible study, she'd have a question. I always say, anybody got any questions? And then she'd have one. So it was an hour Bible study. So we would always start about 20 minutes late every time with the questions, but that was fine. And she, you know what her favorite thing to do in the church was to gather portals of prayer. I made announcements at the end of the 3 months that don't throw your portals of prayer, bring it to her, and then she would get it to prisoners in jail.
Good for her.
Yes.
She would do that.
Yep. And... I talked with her the first time that she knew she had the illness, and you could tell she was a little scared. But what kept her faith, of course, was Jesus. She loved the Lord's Supper and her family. Her family was a big thing for her. And see, that's why we don't have to fear the foe, because he wants to seek our overthrow. What I was happy with last night is none of the children who were there, etc., were angry with God.
That's good.
Yeah.
They all accepted it.
They were accepting it, and they grieved, but not as those who had no hope.
Right, right.
I mean, what a difference it makes to be a Christian.
Big difference.
And I sat there because they would turn to me and ask me questions. Like, what time of the day did Jesus die? And then I would explain that he died at 3 p.m. when the slaughter of the Passover lambs began, which was interesting. And then I explained why he died so early rather than 3 or 4 days later. And the answer is, of course, that he had finished fulfilling all the Old Testament prophecies, the last one being...
I thirst.
Yes. And therefore, I remember Martin Charlemagne saying he looked back all the way to all the people who had been born and forward to all the ones who are yet to be born, recognized that he had fulfilled the will of the Father in forgiving their sins, and therefore said, it is finished.
Yes, I remember those words of Martin Charlemagne.
Yeah. No, I mean, there are some great insights that you don't recognize a lot of time in reading the English, because the English doesn't explain, and you know, that's when the lands were being.
Right.
But because of our history and such. So Martin Luther in his Mighty Fortress Is Our God has a similar phrase. He's judged.
The deed is done.
One little
word can fell him.
Yes. And that little word is Jesus. Yeah. So I'm actually going to talk tomorrow about something, death with dignity, particularly in light of the fact of how many states now are allowing suicide.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. But we need not fear the foe, even though he seeks your overthrow. And though your courage sometimes faints. Yeah, every time I go to bed, I don't know why these days, but I've had a number of members who died in their sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just wondering, am I going to wake up?
Well, that's not a bad way to go, though, you know?
Oh, no.
In your sleep?
That's,
I mean,
for sure.
That's a lot worse ways to go than that.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I think that'd be the choice of a lot of people.
Probably. So, stanza two. Be of good cheer. Your cause belongs to him who can avenge your wrongs. Leave it to him, our Lord, though hidden yet for mortal eyes, his Gideon shall for you arise, uphold you and his word. What does he mean, Gideon?
Gideon is a reference to that Old Testament judge. Remember Gideon, who defeated the Midianites?
Yes.
Remember that?
Right.
And he did it with just about 300 men. Remember how he whittled down? He had all these guys come forward, volunteered to fight.
To drink from the brook.
But he whittled them down through a test or two. And he whittled them down to just 300 men.
Yes.
And they confounded and confused those Midianites to the point where they were in the dark and they started running over themselves and killing themselves.
Yes, exactly. There was an angel who had done that in Israel, another book of the Bible, where he got them so confused they were fighting each other thinking it was the enemy.
Yes.
Type of thing. So last week, I'm thinking of trying to run a book fair at Trinity Orchard Farm. They have a huge gym and a wonderful place to make food off to the side.
And you're thinking of getting rid of some of your books, is that right?
Well, no. I'll bring some of mine, but we're going to sell tables. You know, like maybe for $20,
uh-huh.
You can put a table up. And
get rid of your books and stuff.
I can do that, and we'll call it theological. But I went to this book sale at a church.
Uh-huh.
They did a little different. They only got books from members, and so all the money went to the church.
Uh-huh.
And I was getting near the end of it, and there were at least a couple thousand books still on the tables.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yes, I said to one of the ladies, what do you do with them? And she said, well, we give them away to places and such like that. But one of the books, I only bought two items or three. One of them were tapes of the Bible with music,
mm-hmm.
but it's on tape recordings.
Right.
The little tapes. And I have a machine that you put the tape in, you put a CD beside it, and it transfers it right over.
Huh.
So, I also have a machine now, if you have VCRs. You put it in, put a CD in, push one button, transfers it over. So people who've had all their weddings on VCRs, I'd be glad to do your wedding for a little bit, you know. But the other book I bought was a book detailing people in the Bible. And I've asked some people, how many people are actually named in the Bible?
Oh, wow. Oh, goodness sake. All those genealogies. Oh, man.
It's just, what would you guess?
Oh, I would guess about maybe 10, 15,000 names.
3,300.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Come on.
And they have every one of them at the back of this book.
No kidding.
And then the ones in bold, they actually have a paragraph on.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then they have probably from museums, you know, photos of actions, uh-huh. Jesus doing this or that. And then the Old Testament, there were some really good ones. But, yeah, I got fascinated just by reading all those. You're going to have a really good Bible study because...
Character studies.
Yes. I was in a conversation where people say, we just can't find anything in the Bible to name our child. And I looked at them. You got 3,300 options.
Yeah, names like, Ehud? Remember him?
Yeah. Yeah. How many characters did Job speak with?
There were three friends.
Right.
But he spoke with more people than that. There was his wife.
Yeah. Was there not? Was there a fourth one who was more wise than the three friends?
Well, God, of course.
Yes, of course. So they had real good scholars. I looked at the front who were doing this. They had PhDs and were from good schools. So it was just kind of interesting. They used, I think, the NIV for those places where they would put down quotes and such. But it was really fascinating, especially like in, what's a book? Is it Chronicles, where there's a lot of names because of the genealogy
sure.
type thing? Yeah. So they were talking about that. All right. Stanza three.
As true as God's own word is true, not earth nor hell's satanic crew against us shall prevail. Their might, a joke, a mere facade. God is with us and we with God. Our victory cannot fail. That's a comforting verse, isn't it?
Yeah, when's the last time a verse talked about the power of Satan being a joke? I don't think that word joke is found in any other hymn.
I the word joke itself. No, you're right. I can't think of any hymn that has joke in it. That's a pretty contemporary word.
Yeah, it's not joke to the world. It's
no joy to the world.
But what does joke mean in this context?
It means there might a joke. You know, they can't. They don't have a chance. Satan and all of his satanic crew doesn't have a chance.
And what does it say right after the word joke?
A mere facade.
Yeah, what's a facade?
A facade is just a false front.
Yes.
Putting on, it's a superficial covering.
Yes.
So it's a false front.
Yeah, it makes you look better than you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good line. There might a joke, a mere facade.
Now, you had a concern over... people using cell phones. My concern is more in the area of Twitter or Facebook.
Oh, yes.
Because people seem to lose their inhibitions.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And
get
many
themselves
them,
in a lot of trouble.
I know, because many of them don't realize that it's very easy to find out who puts out that. I know a number of people who work in computers. See, every computer has its own number attached to it. And so if you type in that number and you have certain programs, you can actually see the keystrokes that were made by that person.
Oh, boy.
For example, Amazon.com has such a program. So I'll buy, say, a book on woodworking from them. Well, the next 4 days, when I click on Amazon.com, the first thing comes up is 5 books on woodworking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's your interest, so they know that.
Yes, yes. And that's why even in the mail, you'll get special things. So that's why on the radio, I always talk about White Castle and Burger King.
And coupons really roll in.
I tell you, Burger King's got, you buy one Big Mac, you get one for free.
Oh, I know. Yeah, $10 full, two Whopper.
Well, meals. I don't understand that. Because you can get a double cheeseburger for $1.50 at McDonald's. That's only $3 for two of them. And then even with the French fries and drink, you're not over five. Yeah. So
well, you still have to pay for the heart bypass, though.
Well, yeah. Well, you don't have insurance?
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. In fact, we're coming up again to renewing with the Concordia plans. That's pretty good. But whatever the devil's trying to do is really a joke, because God will not let him do beyond what God permits. And sometimes he'll permit.
You know, you hear, if you read Luther, you read some of his, the devil, of course, was tempting him all the time. And you read about some of these anecdotes about him standing up to the devil.
Right.
And what he would say to the devil.
What did he throw at the devil?
Sometimes there were pretty earthy expressions.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Do you remember what he threw at the devil?
Ink blotter?
Exactly. Or
right.
Ink container.
Ink container.
Yeah. Whatever they call that. Against the wall.
Right.
So, would you read stanza four, please?
Amen, Lord Jesus, grant our prayer. Great captain, now thine arm make bare, fight for us once again. So shall thy saints and martyrs raise a mighty chorus to thy praise forevermore. Amen.
Yesterday I had the privilege, when I got here, there were some people going on a tour here, and they were from Deutschland, Germany.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I asked if the pastor would come in, and we had a little talk. They had been to the youth item here in the Missouri Synod, and they were going back to Germany today. But I said, how's your church? And he said, we just baptized the first Muslim convert.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, you hear a lot of that.
Yes.
In Germany. Sad to say, so much of the native population has left the church, but you're getting these Muslims that are coming in. You hear about that sometimes.
You just don't know where the harvest is going to be.
Right.
And that's why we're always looking. There are many titles for Jesus. And what's the one that is used here?
Captain.
Yeah, why would he use that?
Well, he's the captain of Sabaoth.
Which is?
Which is the heavenly host, the whole heavenly host.
That's what we believe. Correct.
Right.
In my seminars, I kind of make fun of that hymn. I said, well, boy, they spelled it wrong again. They don't know how to spell Sabbath. But Sabaoth is a different word.
I'm trying to think if the word captain is used in other hymns.
This
is the only one that I can think of.
Yeah, and I think captain, because the previous verse, we're having victory over Satan.
Right.
And that occurs because Jesus is our captain. So I think it's a military term.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
That's brought in here. And Amen, Lord Jesus, grant our prayer. That's interesting. The Amen is at the beginning of the hymn rather than at the beginning of the verse. Why?
Well, it's yes, it shall be so.
That's right. It's a vow.
It could be appropriate right in the middle of the verse, too, anywhere.
Now, great captain, thine arm make bare. You know a little bit about military. What's the picture he's drawing here?
Well, roll up your sleeves.
Yeah.
Take care of these guys.
Yes. Well said. And fight for us once again. Well, wait a minute. If he's going to fight once again, then he already fought for us. When was that?
On the cross.
Very good. Yes. Yes, the cross is the biggest fight against Satan.
But he's also promised to be with our day-to-day battles and with his angels.
Well, that's why I kind of like, so shall thy saints and martyrs raise a mighty chorus to thy praise forevermore. Amen. Because what the previous verse said is, God is not only with us, but we are with God.
God, right.
And so last evening, as she fell asleep in Jesus, I made the point that she was
with Jesus.
Yeah, the angel had taken her. All right. looks like we have to leave. Services this Sunday?
Yes, 5 p.m. Saturday evening and Sunday morning, 9 a.m. We'd love to have you at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church at Crestwood.
I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.